The Mishnah is about Truma. So let's say a few words about Truma. The Torah says that when a person grows fruits, grains, vegetables, we have to see exactly, some is Doraisa, some is Darabonan in Eretz Yisrael, and he has to separate Truma and give it to the Kohen. And the Truma itself is not allowed to be eaten, or even Hanoah might be Osir, in a case of a Zar, someone who's not a Kohen. Our mission is going to discuss the violation if somebody was a Zar and he ate Truma. What are the various penalties that he has to suffer as a result of the fact that he ate Truma? And we're going to talk about two different cases of eating Truma. We're going to talk about Mazid, where he deliberately ate Truma. He's a Zar, he's not a Kohen. And number two, a case of Shogeg, and we'll give a few different scenarios of Shogeg, where inadvertently, but not in a deliberate sense, he violated the Iser of Achilas Truma, a Zar. Now, as far as the difference between Truma Doraisa and Truma Derabbanon, Truma Doraisa, according to all Rishonim except for the Rambam, is Chita, meaning the five species of grains. I'm just giving one species would be Chita, Yayin, and Shemen, which means Tirosh V'Yitzhar. Now, it's the products of grapes and olives, right? The produce, grapes and olives, and the juices that come out of them, they are included under Truma. Now, the reason why I emphasize this is because Truma applies to both Achila and Shasiya, both to solids and liquids, right? So if you have wine or if you have oil, those are liquids. And we'll see that if a Zar drinks those liquids, we have a principle called Achila, that Shasiya Bechlal Achila, that Shasiya is also included in Achila. So when the Torah prohibits the Zar from eating Truma, it even applies to drinking Truma. Now, as far as other fruits, other than grapes and olives, according to all Rishonim, except for the Rambam, all other fruits are Derabbanon. Everybody agrees that Yerokos and Kidneos, meaning vegetables and legumes, are all Derabbanon. And the Rambam goes ahead and extends the Doraisa of Truma to all fruit trees. Anything that grows on a tree is considered Truma min haTorah, according to the Shitas Rambam. Now, the name Truma itself in Chazal means to lift something. Okay, so for example, when you separate something, it's considered to lift it. It also indicates that you endow it with sanctity. Now, once you endow this particular section of the field, of the grains, with sanctity, then two things have to happen. Number one, once you separate it, it belongs to the Shevet Kahuna. It doesn't belong to any specific Kohen. Number two, you as the owner have the rights to specify which Kohen you want to give it to. And for those who are learning Daf Yomi, you probably know what I'm referring to here, the Tovas HaNov deciding who, question you can give it to the wife of the Kohen, and so on and so on. But in any event, getting back to our Sugya, so we have now something called Truma. Now, if somebody is a Zar and he eats Truma b'mezid, now listen carefully, if he had a Hasra, if he was warned about it beforehand, then he gets Malkus. And once he gets Malkus, that alleviates him from any Tashlumen. That's based on a principle called Eino Loke U'Meshalim. You don't get both Malkus and a Chiyuv Tashlum. But let's assume that for technicalities, there was no Malkus because there was no Hasra, then in such a case, he pays. And when he pays, he's going to have to pay the value of the Truma. Now, when I say he pays the value of the Truma, what that means is that he's a Gazlan. If a Zar eats Truma, he's a Gazlan. But now the question is, at what stage did he eat the Truma? Was it already given over to the Kohen or before it was given over to the Kohen? If it's before it was given over to the Kohen, then no specific Kohen owns the Truma. And then we're going to have to get into a whole issue as to whether or not he pays what's called Shevet Kahuna. And the Shita Mekubetzes in Masechta Brachos is of the opinion that if he eats Truma that Adayin Lo Nitna LeKohen, and it hasn't yet been designated to and given to a specific Kohen, Potter, he doesn't have to pay any Tashlumen for that. Again, not everybody agrees with the Shita Mekubetzes, but let's just throw it out there. So again, in the case of a mezid, basically we're talking about gezeila. and a gazlan has to pay the value of the truma. So, for example, if we go to the marketplace and we figure out exactly how much truma is worth on the market, at that point we know exactly how much the czar will pay. And again, if he steal, according to Shita Mekubetzes, he ate the truma of Joe Cohen, of a certain specific Cohen, and he's going to pay the keren to that Cohen. That's as far as mezid is concerned. Now we go over to talk about the case of shogeg. Now, what exactly is shogeg? So there are three, if I'm not mistaken, there are three different scenarios of shogeg. Scenario number one is the following. He didn't know, this is a little bit surprising, but he didn't know that truma cannot be eaten by a czar. He's really on a very low level of knowledge. Number two, another possibility, is he knew that a czar is not allowed to eat truma, but he didn't realize, and this is the Shita of Rava in Masechta Shabbos Peites, he didn't realize that the violation for eating truma is misa bidei shamayim. He was unaware of the severity of the violation. And the third possibility is that he didn't know that this was truma. That's the more common case. Rava's case is a machlokas, whether that makes him into a shogeg or not. And for that, again, I'm just telling you, if you have time, you'll have to learn Shabbos Samach Tes Amid Beis. I'm not going to answer any questions about Shabbos Samach Tes Amid Beis. In fact, I'm not going to even answer any questions about Shabbos Daf Beis Amid Beis, let alone Samach Tes Amid Beis. But that's the sugya of Rava, and Rava says that if a person is unaware of the punishment, that gives him the status of a shogeg. Again, as far as we're concerned, let's just go the easy way. He didn't realize that this was truma. So what happens now? A czar eats truma b'shogeg. And here the Torah tells us two major chidushim, as opposed to amazing. Number one, not only does he have to pay the keren, he also has to add the chomesh. So the chomesh means an amount which, if you add it to the keren, it would be equal to 1/5. Do you follow? So you're adding 20% onto 100% and it becomes 1/5. That chomesh, once it's paid, becomes truma. And we here have another machlokes. When does it become truma? Does it become truma as soon as he separates the money and designates it for payment to the chomesh, or only when it's delivered to the kohen? Now, the second big chiddush of shogeg, this is what we're going to discuss today at great length, is that in the case of the payment of a shogeg, it's not just gzela. Again, it's certainly gzela. I mean, he stole from the kohen. And according to the Shita Mekubetzes, it was already given over to the kohen. But beyond that, it's what's called tashlume kapara. So this you have to write down. That the tashlumen of shogeg in truma is kapara. Kapara means that he's going to atone for his sin, because he did a terrible sin, by payment. The payment now has a double function. It wears two hats. On the one end, it's called tashlume gzela, because he cheated the kohen. And on the other end, it's also tashlume kapara. And we're going to soon see that those dinim are not exactly the same. For example, if the truma goes up in value from the time that he ate it, it could be that as far as gzela is concerned, he wouldn't have to pay the higher value, but because it's kapara, he may have to pay a higher value. Again, all that is futuristic. We'll get to it in a few minutes. Just put it in the back of your head. So again, he has to pay keren plus chomesh. He pays, listen carefully, from peros of chulin. But those payers of chulin, once they're designated for payment as tashlume truma, they themselves become truma. Now, all this is meant as an introduction to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about, take a look, ha'ochel trumas chametz bepesach. So you're three lines, you're five lines before the end of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. And you're talking about someone who eats truma that's chametz on Pesach. How could truma be chametz? Very simple. He was mafresh chitim, and then he took the chitim, he ground them, he grinds them up, and after tchina he makes them, he adds water or liquid, and then he makes it into a dough, and now the dough ferments. So he now has truma that's chametz, that's called trumas chametz. Now, chametz, as you know, is asur, bein b'achila, bein b'hanah. And if that be the case, Chametz is also by no. We have a principle called Isuri no lav mamon, which means that something that's also by no has no monetary value. So now we have a very interesting question here. If a person eats trumas chametz on Pesach, what is he going to pay? If he pays b'toras gzela, well, gzela means I pay you the value of the object. Here the object has absolutely no value. If, on the other hand, he pays as what's called kapara, tashlume kapara, and we'll see exactly how that fleshes out here in this sugya, then it could very well be that despite the fact that in monetary terms there is no gzela, but in terms of the avera of achilas truma, he ate truma. So I'll just read to you the words of the Maram Chalava, one of the great Rishonim on Masechta Pesachim. He says the following: Ein trumas chametz dome lechametz hegdesh bePesach shenechshav bar domin. He says the following: there's something called trumas chametz, and then there's something called chametz of hegdesh. Chametz of hegdesh has special dinim to it, and it might be valuable, but trumas chametz, he says, has no value. And if it has no value, then let's take, for example, the case of a mezid. We said that if a czar would deliberately eat truma, then he's a gazlan. Well, a gazlan pays the value of the object that he stole. Here, there's no value to the object. So if our Mishnah is going to impose penalties and fines and payments on ochel trumas chametz with Pesach, l'chora, it's going to have to be b'shogeg. Why? That's the next line in the Mishnah. B'mezid potami tashlumin. In a case of a deliberate eating of trumas chametz on Pesach, a zar, there's no payment. Why? Because since chametz is also by no on Pesach, it has no domim, it has no value. The kohen didn't lose anything of value that he can claim you owe me as a gazlan. Therefore, there's no way that you can impose a chiyuv tashlumin in the case of a mezid. But the Mishnah says, in the case of a shogeg, mishalem keren v'chomesh. Now, what does this mean, mishalem keren v'chomesh? After all, it has no value. So the answer is that when you pay a keren v'chomesh, you don't pay money. You don't put money on the table. What you do is you give peros. When I say peros, I mean tvua, or let's say tirosh v'yitzar, so forth and so on. But I mean to say by peros, I mean produce. He puts down produce to replace the truma. And even though the truma that he ate, in this case, since it was chametz, was valueless, he nevertheless has to replace that truma. And that's because, in the case of shogeg, the penalty is not just gzela, in which case you would ask, well, what did the kohen lose? And the answer is that chametz is worthless, he didn't lose anything. But rather, you have to replace the truma in order to be mechaper on your sin of a zar she'ochel truma. And therefore, he has to pay not as a gazlan, but he has to pay as a replacement of the truma in order to achieve what, everybody? Kapara. Jerry, you wanted to say something before? I just wanted to finish that.
No, that's okay. I missed it. At the beginning, I thought you started that there are two types of truma midoraisa.
Yeah, there's truma midoraisa and truma midrabbana. So the truma derabbanan, according to all Rishonim, implies to shar peres ha'ilon, with the exception of grapes and olives. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you own a pomegranate tree or a date tree, the chiyuv of truma is only derabbanan, and everybody agrees. Even the Rambam, who extends truma d'oraisa to all fruits, would agree that in kidneys, which are legumes, seeds, and the like, and in yirakos, which are vegetables, it's only truma derabbanan. Now, whether Truma Derabbanan operates within the same frame of reference as Truma D'Oraisa, I don't know. Now, here I want to share with you the Rosh Yosef. The Rosh Yosef was the Prima Gadon. And he says the following, that we paskin like Rava. You remember I mentioned Rava to you, that Rava says that if he's unaware of the fact that the penalty for, you know, the punishment for a zar eating truma is misa b'dei shamayim, he doesn't know that gives him the status of a shogeg. So in other words, our Mishnah would even apply, according to the Prima Gadim, who authored the Rosh Yosef, in a case where the Tzar, was unaware of the Chiyuv Misa V'dei Shamayim. Then he says the following, Kevon Shatashlumin, in the case of Shogeg, Mishum Kapara, Ein HaKohen Yochol Limchol Aleihem. Here's another Nafkamina. We should really set up a whole chart here of the Nafkaminas between Shogeg and Mezid. Mezid, we said, is Gzela. And if Mezid is Gzela, if it's Yisuri Adnoah, for example, Chameitz, there's no Chiyuv Tashlume Gzela because it's worthless. He didn't lose anything. In the case of Shogeg, since it's Kapara, Tashlume Kapara, despite the fact that it's worthless, and as a Gazan, he would not have to pay, but nevertheless, he has to pay fruits to replace the fruits that he ate, and that's Midin Kapara. Now we have another Nafkamina. Can the Kohen be Mochel? Can the Kohen say, I waive my rights to get paid? The answer is, it depends on Mezid and Shogeg. If it's a case of Mezid, where the Tashlumen is only Betoras, what? Gzela, then the Nigzal is the Bailim, he has rights to be Mochel on Tashlumi Gzela. But in the case of Shogeg, with the Tashlumi, it's not only Gzela, but it's also what? Kapara, he has no rights halachically to be Mochel. The Kohen can be Mochel from now until Mashiach Tzai, it doesn't matter. It still is Machayev, the Tzar, to replace the Truma as Tashlume Shogeg Midin Kapara. And that's what he writes here. Zos le'umas ha'ochel b'mezit shechiyuvo eino ela eino mishum kapara ela mishum gzela ha'kohen ba'al ha'truma yochel limchol al hefzit ha'truma and the mechila is chal. Now, kevon sha'atashlumim boim le'kapara al hazar l'shalim al ha'truma afilu im ochel truma. According to one opinion, so again, let me go back a second so you'll appreciate this next sentence here from the Taz. We said, in the name of the Shita Mekubetzes, that if a Tzar eats Truma before the Truma was delivered to a Kohen, a specific Kohen, then he's parted from Tashlumin. Says the Taz, that's true in the case of Mezit. But in a case of Shogeg, where the Tashlumin is for a Kapara, he has to pay that tashlumen even if he ate truma shelo nitan adayin le kohen. And again, who's going to collect that tashlumen? It's going to be Shevet Kahuna. Will he still retain his rights to decide which kohen gets that tashlumen truma? That's another sugya, which we're not going to get into. But now he wants to know what happens if a tzar is mafresh truma and then he eats his own truma. Or, for example, he receives truma from a Kohen as a gift, and now he wants to give it to, let's say, his grandson who's a Kohen, right? And he ate the truma. If he ate it for Shogeg, he's going to have to pay and replace the truma because he needs kapara for his zar shachal truma. If it's only midin gzela, it's his own truma, he didn't steal anything from himself. So we now have a whole slew of nafkaminas, which leads up to our Mishnah. Number one, the difference is that a mezid pays b'toras gazlan, and therefore he's going to pay the value of the truma as it was valued b'shas achila, because the achila itself was the gzela. And then we have the case of Shogeg. The Shogeg is paying not Bitoris Gzela, or I shouldn't say that, actually, not only Bitoris Gzela, but also Bitoris what? Kapara. And therefore, we said that there's no Mechila in the case of Shogeg, there's Mechila in the case of Mezid. In the case of Shogeg, he pays not only Keren, but he also pays Chomesh. All that he separates, the fruits that he separates as payment will automatically become truma. Again, that's a machlokus, whether it's automatically or only when he gives it over to the Kohen. And now the Taz is chiddush that in the case of Shogeg, even if the truma that the Tzar ate was not yet delivered to any specific Kohen, he still has to be mechaper himself by replacing the truma. Even if he eats his own truma, he's going to have to pay, meaning he's going to have to replace the truma. And that's a chiddush in the case of Shogeg. And now we get to the case of Trumas Chametz. Here's going to be another nafkamina between what? between Mezid and Shogeg. And that's exactly what our Mishnah says. Ochel Trumas Chametz bePesach. If the Truma happens to be Chametz and he eats it on Pesach, is now we differentiate between Shogeg and Mezid. In the case of Shogeg, he's got to pay, meaning he has to replace the Truma with other peros, like any Ochel Truma b'Shogeg the rest of the year, right? And even though the Truma has no value on the market, he didn't steal anything from the Kohen, nevertheless, he cannot be miskaper until he replaces the Truma. And that's what he has to do. And he says in the footnote here the following. Klomar. Hatashlumen alachilus Truma b'shogeg kololim shneyin yonim. Aleph tashlume gzela. Beis tashlumen aboim l'shem kapor alachet shal achila. And he says, in the case of Gzela, the amount he pays is equal to the value, the market value of the Truma that he ate. That's in the case of Mezid. But in the case of Shogish, the kvius here is the volume of the fruits that he ate, of the Truma that he ate. Even though the Truma has no value, he still has to replace the Truma with other peros that automatically become Truma. And even though he ate, the Zar ate Truma Shel Chametz, which has no value on the market, and therefore the Bala Truma didn't lose anything, so on a monetary basis he would not have any Chiv Tashlum, and that's Mezid. But in the case of Shogeg, Bitars Kapora, he has to replace the Truma that he ate for the Avera of Achilas Truma, and therefore, even in the case of Chometz, which is valueless and therefore would not generate a Chiyuv Mamon of Gzela, he still has to replace it in the case of Shogeg, Bitoras Kapora. The Gama Chomesh, he also has to pay not only Keren, but also Chomesh. And Mechushav, how do you calculate how much Chomesh he pays? Chamishis Mikamus HaTrumash Ochal. In other words, you take the Truma and you divide it up into five equal parts, so to speak, and then he has to add the equivalent kamus, the equivalent volume of one of those five pieces, 1/5, and that's called a chomesh.
A 50/48, yeah.
Correct. Now the Mishnah says, u'mishalim d'mei eitzim, u'midmei eitzim. What is this about? Okay, so I'm just going to read to you what he says here, and then we'll try to work it out together. He's saying the following. We have what's called Truma Tahora, and then we have something called Truma Tmeya. In the case of Truma Tmeya, then how much exactly does he pay? And this would be true even in a case of a mezid if it wasn't an issue of chametz, let's say the whole year round. But the Mishnah is actually addressing the case of chametz, and what happens if this chametz was tameh? Let's say a sheretz fell on this dough before it was baked, and now it's truma tmeah, and now the tzar goes in and he eats this loaf of bread which is chametz, and it's also truma. But now it's Truma Tmeya. So how do you evaluate Truma Tmeya? So the Mishnah says, Midmei Eitzim, which basically means that Truma Tmeya is to be burnt. That's the mitzvah of Sreifas Truma Tmeya. And you're allowed to use the Truma Tmeya as fuel to fire up your oven. Right? So you save yourself a couple of Eitzim, a couple of pieces of logs, right, for feeding the fire. So whatever you save yourself, that's got a value on the market, and therefore he has to pay that. But this is complicated because we're talking now about chametz, and chametz has no value. And you may recall that we had a long sugya back on Daf Chavav or wherever it was, that you cannot heat up your pot that's being fired by chametz. So we have to figure out here what it means when it says that midmei eitzim. So I think what this midmei eitzim is referring to is the case of a mezid. Let's see if that works out. The chametz was tame, chametz shel truma that was tmeir. So now we're asking the following. This is what the question the Mishnah is addressing. What difference does it make whether or not, in a case of mezid, whether or not it was chametz and it was Pesach, even the rest of the year, in the case of truma tmeah has no value. So what exactly is the difference? You know, when it says in the Mishnah b'mezid patur, it means because it's what? It's chametz, and chametz is valueless, therefore b'mezid he's not a gazlan, he doesn't pay tashlume truma as a gazlan. So that's okay in the case of truma tahora, but in the case of truma tmeya, why would you even have a hava meaning the rest of the year that he would be as a gazlan b'mezid, he would have to pay for the truma? The truma is valueless. So that's what the Mishnah answers, midmei eitzim. That if it would have been the rest of the year and it wasn't chametz b'pesach, then the truma tmeya has a value because it could be used as what?
Fuel.
As fuel. But on Pesach, it couldn't be used as fuel because it's also matnah. Hence, the mezid is potur even from tashlume tmei eitzim. He's completely potur, whether it's truma tahora, whether it's truma tmeya. He's pot. Okay, now we're ready to start the Gemara. Azar shachal truma b'shogeg. What are the laws of tashlume? Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Trumos. In the sixth parak, it says, Zar ha'ochel truma b'shogeg, meshalim keren v'chomesh. And what do we do with the payment? The payment is going to be fruit, it's going to be edible, and it's going to become truma. Echad ha'ochel v'echad ha'shoseh. Okay, now how do we know that in the case of shesia, he has to pay? The Torah says, ish ki yochal kodesh. This is in Vayikra Perkov Beis. So how do we know that these chiyuvim of keren v'chomesh apply even if he drinks truma? So this is the Gemara at the end of Masechta Yoma, and there the Gemara says that Shesia Bechlal Achila. The Gemara derives this from a pasuk in Bamidbar Yudalid. I'm just mentioning it for your, you know, to expand your knowledge. It says, "V'nasata akesef bechol asher tava nafshecha, ba'bokar u'batzon u'bayayin u'bishechar v'achalta shom." So this is the parsha of Maaser Sheni. Anyway, the Torah includes not only the meat of the tzon and bakar, but also yayin v'shechar. And then it says at the end of the pasuk, v'achalta sham. So let's say I take my sheni money, let's say up to Yerushalayim, I could invest it in yayin or in shechar, and I could drink the yayin in the shechar in Yerushalayim. But the Torah says v'achalta sham. Why does it say v'achalta sham? You're talking about yayin and shechar. And the answer is shtia bechlal achila. The Torah went ever out of its way to say v'achalta, referring to shesia, and therefore shesia. Whenever the Torah says achila, it includes shesia as well. Okay, now we have to ask the following question. Normally, when the Torah says don't drink something or drink something, it obligates you. What is the shear of shtia? No, achila is kizai. Shesia is what? Revius. The Rambam says in Hilchas Trumos that shir shtias truma l'schayev aleh he bekizayis kishir achila. So this is fascinating. Normally we would say achila is one thing and shesia is another thing. So when you have a chiv shesia, or when there's a separate Isur Shesia, let's say, for example, the Torah says a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, that's a Revius. But in this case, the Torah never said that you pay for drinking Truma, meaning Yayin of Truma. The Torah said V'achalta. Ela what is a din of shesia bechalal achila? So if shesia is bechalal achila, the yichayv not b'tor shesia but b'tor achila, and therefore the Rambam says the shear is going to be a kezayis. Again, I'm just mentioning it to you. I'm fascinated by all these dimensions, but the most fascinating thing in this whole sugya is the shita of other rishonim, and this is not the shita Rashi that we were presenting, and this is based on a Gemara later on in Masechta Pesachim. Ochel Truma Bishoge. Just 1 second. So what do we say? We say that Ochel Truma Bishoge is Meshalim Keren V'Chomesh. That's okay. If it was Chomets, Trumas Chomets, once again, Mishalim Keren V'Chomesh. What does that mean? After all, if it's Chomets, it has no value. So what exactly are you replacing? And the answer is you're replacing the volume of the Truma. And that's the Kapara. So far, so good. That's what we said. And it's all based on Rashi. However, from the Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Beis, it seems that there's another possibility. That our ochel truma b'shogeg pays lefi damim. In other words, he pays the value of the truma, not to replace the volume of the physical volume. That's called lefi damim. What are we going to do with our Mishnah? If you hold that a shogeg pays keren v'chomesh lefi damim, then in the case of chomets, there is no damim. Chomets is valueless. So he answers that Tana later on holds that Chametz bePesach Mutar Banah. Who remembers the famous Tana who holds Chametz Pesach as Mutar Banah? Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Shimon holds that Chametz on Erev Pesach and after Pesach is Mutar. But as far as Chametz bePesach itself, Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that it's also Banah. The one who says that Chametz Pesach is not Osav Hanah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and he derives it from the Pasuk Lo Yirah Lecha, which means Shalcha, that it's yours. And it can only be yours if it's Mutar Hanah. So in other words, when it says later on Daf Lamed Beis, according to that sheet of that Tana, that a Shogeg pays care of a Chomesh Lefi Damim, that Tana must be holding, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Chametz Pesach is Mutar Hanah. And now we have to understand what would be with a mazid, right? In the case of a mazid, he should be paying, because if you hold chametz as mutar b'hanah, then it has a market value. He says umashe mavur sha'ochel b'mazid potim in a tashlumin umid me'etzim afal gav sheyesh l'truma damim hareza mitam acher. Whoa. That the reason why the mazid is potter from tashlumin is for a whole different reason. Has nothing to do with the valuelessness, if there's such a word, of chametz, but rather mishum shu chayav misa v'chol shemachuyav misa potter mitashlumin. In other words, when the Mishnah differentiates between shogeg and mazid, it's because of kimlei b'deramimine. Now, there are a whole bunch of assumptions here. Premise number one is that there's no din of Kim Levi the Rabbinate with regard to a shogeg, because he's not chayv any ownership. Alternatively, maybe this is the exception to the rule because it's a kapara. Number two, that in the case of a misa v'dei shamayim, there still is an application of the principle of what? Of Kim Levi the Rabbinate. There was one sheet, if you remember, that held that Kim Levi Rabbinay only applies to Onshe Bezdin. That Bezdin can't impose two punishments. Now he's holding that even if there's a punishment Bidei Shamayim, he doesn't pay Tashlumin. And the third premise is that, according to this approach in the Mishnah, is that Chomets B'Pesach is Mutar Banah, hence it has a value, and therefore the mazid is chayav in tashlumin. And the only reason the Mishnah says he's part of tashlumin is because he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim, and we apply kim lebe the ramamine. But Again, this is all futuristic on Daf Lamed Beis. As far as what we see here on Daf Lamed Aleph, the way Rashi interprets the sugya, we're holding that shogeg and that ha'ochel truma, ha'ochel truma meshalim keren v'chomesh, zar she'ochel truma meshalim keren v'chomesh, means he pays not according to its damim, but according to its midah. Midah means according to the volume that he's replacing truma with truma. And therefore, even though chametz is aser b'ano, we're not holding like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and therefore it's valueless and there would be no chiv gzela, nevertheless, in shogeg he has to pay in order to achieve kapara by replacing the truma with another equal volume of peros plus a chomesh. But in the case of mezid, if a zar deliberately eats truma of chametz on Pesach, he doesn't pay tashlumin because it's valueless. And in the case of mezid, his chiyuv tashlumin of keren v'chomesh is only what? Is only b'toras gzeila. Wow. Okay. Where are we up to? Daf Lamed Beis. Kiminyan Leiv. Okay, we're up to the heart of the sugya. V'echad asach. Now we have a case of shemen shel truma. Before we were talking about drinking a zar who drank wine that was truma. Now we're talking about a zar who takes shemen shel truma. What does he do with shemen shel truma? So if you ever learn ketzav avarchim, you'll see this entire sugya whether you drink shemen and you make a brach on shemen. Most people don't drink shemen. But what do they do with it? Sicha. What's sicha? Sicha means anointing, right? And again, we go back to the Gemara at the end of Yoma, and the Gemara says that Sicha is asur on Yom HaKippurim. It's one of the five Inuyim. And that's derived from a pasuk in Tehillim, Vatavo Kemayim Bekirbo Kishevet Batzmosov. And there the Gemara establishes the principle that Sicha Kishtia, that sicha is the same shtia. So now we have what's it called? The law of transmutation. In other words, if sicha equals shtia and shtia is an achila, then the zar who does sicha and shemen shel truma is going to have to replace the shemen with keren v'chomesh. Then we have echad truma tmeya, v'echad truma tahora. Now the mefarshim and the mishnayos there in truma are very perplexed. How does the Gemara know? How does the Mishnah know that if you're a zar and you eat truma tmeya, that you have to pay keren v'chomesh? I mean, the parsha there is talking about truma tahora, not about truma tmeya. So he says the following. This is the Mishnah Rishona, one of the super commentaries. I used to know who authored that, but I don't remember anymore. Anyway, he says, Lo Matsinu Drasha, we never find anywhere where we derive the ribui for Truma Tmei as far as Tashlumin Shel Zar. V'tzarech Lomar, Shalomdu Kei Mipashtu Sakosuf. It says, V'ich Ki Yochal Kodesh. And when it says, Ish Ki Yochal Kodesh, then it includes even Truma Tmei. I mean, that's a little bit odd, if you ask me, because Truma Tmeya is not really... Well, yes, I guess he's holding it does have Kedusha, because you have to burn it. So you burn it b'toras Kedusha. In any event, the bottom line is, according to this Mishnah in Truma, in Trumos, if Yizar eats Truma Tmeya, he's got to pay Keren V'chomesh. Again, what would be Keren V'chomesh in the case of Truma Tmeya? So if it would be a case of mezid, then you talk about tmei eitzim. If it's a case of shogeg, then it would be replace the truma that he ate, which is really interesting because he ate truma tmeya. He's going to be replacing it with truma tahora. In any event, in all the cases mentioned before, mishalem chomesh v'chumsha dechumsha. What's chumsha dechumsha? After he adds the chomesh, that chomesh becomes truma, and now if he eats that chomesh, and he's a zar, he still remains a zar, and he didn't change his status, then he has to add a chomesh to the chomesh. Fine. Now I want to read to you a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi brings a machlokes tanoim, im hatashlumen shel truma, right, the shogeg pays keren v'chomesh, Nasem Truma Miyad, the Ace Hafrasha, in other words, when he designates this fruit as replacement for the Truma, it already becomes Truma. Orak be Aishu Nostam Lakoin. One sheet in the Tanoim, quoted in the Yerushalmi and Truma's Perek Vav, holds that it only becomes Truma when it's delivered to the Kohen. I'm not sure who delivers it to the Kohen. I'm assuming, I hope I'm not wrong about this, I don't know, I'm not learning Trumas now, that the Bailim, the one who was mafresh the Truma, and then he ate the Truma, or he ate the Truma of some other Kohen, that Kohen would deserve to receive the Chomesh. So again, according to this day in the Tanoim, when does the Tashlumin become Truma? Only when it's delivered to the Kohen. L'deo she'ein nasim Truma ele mishas nesina l'Kohen, einem ischayv al-chilosan, he doesn't become chayev until nesina. It's only after nesina v'lo kodim l'chein. Okay. Iboilahu. This is the main sugya for today. So if anyone dozed off a little bit, now's the time to wake up. Okay? Iboilahu, the Gemara has a suffek. We're talking about a zar that eats peros of truma b'shogeg, and he has to pay by replacing those fruits of truma with other fruits. Kshuma shalem, when he pays, Lefi mido mishalem o lefi domi mishalem. Does he pay by volume? He has to replace. Let's say there were three olives. So he has to replace these three olives. O lefi domi. Or what it means, we find out what was the market value of these three olives that he ate, and then he has to give its equivalent. It's a coolant value in what? In olives. And he writes the following. I'm reading to you from the Masifti. He says, Kasher erech ha-truma lo nishtane, if the value of the truma on the market did not change, there was no inflation or what's the opposite of inflation? Deflation?
Devaluation.
Yeah, okay, devaluation. Me'esha ochlad esha ba hu ba l'shalem. Then ain af gemina b'sofik. Zeshali olam kashu mishalim hu mishalim peres acherim. Lefi domeo shal hatruma. Kifi shehem hayu shavim b'es achilasa. And now it's worth the same as it was at the time that he ate it. So in such a case, the mele is going to pay lefi mida and lefi domin. Are you following me? In other words, if the value of the truma that he ate has not changed from the moment that he ate it until the moment that he's replacing it, then you can call it lefi mida, you can call it lefi domim, it makes no difference. It's hainu hach, because lefi mida is actually lefi domim, right? Because there was no change in price. And now the Gemara is going to go through two scenarios in which there was a change in price. The first scenario, there was deflation, devaluation. Kol hecha to make kor at the time that he ate the truma. Again, we're talking about a zar who eats truma. Shavyar ba zuze. It was worth for zuzim on the market. Elbasof. Now he comes to replace the truma. Is shavya zuze? Guess what? That same volume of truma, which at the time that he ate it was worth four zuzim, is now worth on the market only one zuz. So there was a devaluation. Loti boilucha. In that case, clear it off the radar screen. We have no issues. Devadai kidemei kara mishalim lefi damim delo gara migas. There's no question about it. He's got to pay four zuzim's worth. Why? And that's based on a mishnah at the end of Masechta Bava Kama. Kol hagazlonim mishalim kishas hagzela. Now again, we have to go back to the drawing board. There are two scenarios of Zar Shachal Truma. There's one called Mezid and one called Shogeg. What's common to both Mezid and Shogeg is they both have to pay Tashlume Gzela. Again, in the case of Shogeg, on top of the Tashlume Gzela serves another function. As we said before, wears another hat. And it's also Tashlume Kapara. But basically, in other words, fundamentally, it's no different than, in other words, if Chas v'Shalom, Reuven steals a cow from Shimon, he has to pay for that cow, whether he knew he was stealing it or he didn't know he was stealing it. That's irrelevant. So that even in the case of Shogeg, he's going to have to replace the truma that was worth 4 zuzim. And if now he's going to have to add 4 times the amount, so let's say 4 times 3 is 12, so he ate 3 zesim of truma, he's going to have to pay, I'm not even talking about chomesh yet, but he has to pay Karen would be 12 zesim of truma, of 12 zesim of truma, meaning of olives that become truma. And the reason for that is because a gazlan always pays kishas akzela. So what was the value of the stolen object at the time it was stolen? In this case, the truma that was stolen, it was worth how many zuzim?
4
zuzim. Rabosei, are we awake? There's no head to the sleeping shir during what's it called, election day. No new dinim of election day. I mean, they left out tachlin today, but I don't think it had anything to do with the elections. Anyway, so he says the following. Loti baylecha. If it was worth 4 at the time of the achila, then for sure he has to pay the equivalent amount of truma that would be equivalent to 4 zuzim, and that's called the fidamim. The logara mi gazlan disnan kol gazlanim mishalmim kishas agzela. Oh, kiti baylecha. I want to ask the opposite question. Let's call it the inflation question. To make kara at the time that he ate the truma, Shavya Zuzi was only worth 1 zuz. Will of ourself now he's coming to replace the truma. And guess what? There was an inflation. The Shavya Arba. The Zesim are worth how much?
Hyperinflation.
Say it a little loud, I'm sorry.
Hyperinflation.
What's hyperinflation?
When something goes up by 400%.
Oh, hyper. I see what you're saying. Wow. I always thought hyper was one of my kids, you know. Just to say he's hyper. So he's saying that's hyperinflation, but times 400.
Say so.
Yeah, but you should know, Michael, all over Shas, I can give you like 15 sugyos of Shas. The Gemara always gives the same example where it goes up from 1 to 4. I don't know why. Maybe in those, you know, in those societies, they had a lot, they suffered a lot from hyperinflation. So I don't know what kind of injection you would give to someone who suffers from hyperinflation. Doc, do you have a suggestion for that? Hyperinflation. We got to calm this guy down.
Ritalin.
Give him Ritalin. Okay, give him four portions, 4 grams of Ritalin. All right. So now it went up by 400%. 400%. My. Now, again, in terms of gzela. In terms of gzela, he pays lefi kishas hagzela. So if we only had an issue of gzela, let's say it wasn't truma, then he would certainly be able to get away with paying a zuz worth, 1 zuz. Because that's called kol gazlanim mishalvim kishas hagzela. And the Gemara actually derives this in Bava Kama from a pasuk. It says, "Veheishiv zagzeil shagazal ashagazal hainu kamosha gazal." But now we have a case of truma, and in the case of truma, at least as far as shogeg is concerned, he's got to replace the. Now watch what happens if he replaces the 3 zuzim. I'm sorry, the 3 zesim. Then basically, he's giving back to Cohen 4 times the amount, the market value of what he stole from the Cohen. But that doesn't matter. Why? Because in order to be miskaper, the Tzar has to replace Lefi Mida. That's called Lefi Mida. So let's see it in the Gemara. To be Kar Shav Yezuzi Lebesov Shav Yarbo Mai Lefi Mida Meshalim. Does he have to pay according to the volume? That's the word I'm using. If you have a better word, let me know. But it means measure for measure. And therefore, he's going to have to pay the exact measure, which is 4 times the value now.
Measure
of what
it was? Or what is
no, no, no. Measure, I mean to say, the physical object. I don't have a good word for it. I call it volume. Here's the volume that he ate, correct? So if you have another Gemara, I don't have another Gemara the same size, right? So he would have to give that exact volume So I gave you the example of three zaysim, whatever example. So you have three zaysim, he's going to have to replace it with three zaysim. Now that three zaysim that he's giving him is worth four times the amount of the three zaysim that he ate kishas hagzeilah. That only makes sense in a case of shogeg, because in the case of shogeg, in addition to paying b'toras gazlan, he also pays b'toras kapara. And if he wants to have kapara, he's got to replace the truma. That's called the fee midah. So again, I don't know. Do you have an art scroll? How does he translate mida? I said volume or measure. I don't know what it is. Do you have a better word for that?
I use volume.
He also has volume. But, you see, even someone like me, I can be mechaven to Dr. A. So lefi mida mishalim, the amrina lay, what we say to the czar who ate the truma, griva is a certain volume, it's called a saw in Hebrew, ochal, that's what he ate, Ugriva Mishalim. He's got to replace the peros. O Dilma, what shall we say? Lefi Domin Mishalim. Right? And Zuza Achal, Bezuza Mishalim. True, he has to replace peros, but he doesn't have to replace the full volume. He's got to replace the peros to the tune of the value of the peros that he ate. Do you follow? So he's gonna have to replace it with peros. He doesn't write a check, he doesn't give him cash. But he's going to only return the volume of the truma that equals up to the value of the truma, the market value, if he dumb him at the time that he ate the truma. Now, in the footnote here, he says the following: Shtei sibos gormos lechiv tashlumin v'zar shachal truma v'shogeg. There's an overlap of two causes for the chiv to replace the truma in the case of a zar who ate the truma inadvertently, b'shogeg. Number one, gzeilas ha-truma. Number two, atzarach b'kapara, correct? So this is familiar to us. So atashlumin heim kapara al cheto. What's the Gemara's suffix? Here's the suffix in the Gemara. Ha'im atashlumin nasim lefi mida. When the Torah says that you have to replace the measure that you ate, eino ela ba'asher l'tashlumin aboyim l'kapara, and this is a unique halacha of kapara, that you have to replace the volume of truma that you ate. She'ilu hayu atashlumin b'toras gzela, heim vaday l'fi damim, kechol tashlumei gzela, v'kevet shekein, v'yofet shehuzla atruma, the truma, what happened to the truma now? Huzla, he's going back to the first case here. Just one second, let me read this. The ofecha huzla truma efsha shalo yeshalim es hatruma lefi mida bilvad. Excellent. He's saying the following. In the first case where the truma went down in value, correct? Because what was it worth at the time of the achila? It was worth four zuzim. Now it's only worth one zuz. For sure he's going to have to give him truma to the tune of four zuz, as it was worth at the time of the gzela. Why? And the answer is because if he would only give him one zuz's worth of truma in volume, then he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv gzela. Because even though he ate it b'shogeg, he still is chayav b'toras gazlan. As we said before, there's an overlap of two different chiyuvim. Again, if he gave one zuz worth, maybe he gets a kapara from his chet, that's possible, because again, he's just replacing the volume of truma that he ate, but he would not fulfill his chiyuv in financial terms of gzela.
These two chiyuvim are mutually opposite. The chiyuv of kapara is for you, the chiyuv of gzela, and replacing it, is to do with the kohen.
Right.
So
as far as the coin is concerned, if I stole something that was worth, let's go to the first case, it was worth four zuz. So as far as the coin is concerned, he wants to get paid four zuz. Now, as far as my own, you know, chiv kapar klapi shamayim, I just have to replace the mida. So if I give him a mida of truma, and that mida is exactly the same as the mida of truma that I stole, even though it's worth one quarter of the value, I can achieve my kapara. But on the other hand, he has a coin, has a right to demand demand the higher price because kol hagazor misham kein agzil. That's the first case. That's the case where it went down in value. Oh, now let's get the case of hisyakra. It went up in value. So at the time that I stole it, that the zareit, the truma, it was worth one zuz, correct? Meikarish avya zuza. It was worth only one zuz. Now he's replacing it. And if he replaces it, midah for midah, then the kohen is making a great profit, which is really not coming to him. But the answer is, that's the only way that the tzar could achieve kapara, by replacing the truma. And therefore, we're going to say lefi midah mishalim. So even though lefi midah mishalim, now the kohen turns out to be a winner, right? Because instead of getting one zuz, he ends up with four zuzim. So nevertheless, that's what lefi midah mishalim. So let's see mine. Lefi midah mishalim damrinin le griva ochal griva mishalim. He ate a griva's worth of peros in that measure, in that volume. Now he has to replace it in that same volume. And basically he's paying something that's worth four zuzim. But it doesn't matter. That's what he has to do. Oh, Dilma, maybe no. Maybe it's true that he pays midah, but not a midah that goes beyond damim. In other words, the kapara is an extension of the gzela. And since b'toras gzela, he stole something that was only worth a zuz, nothing more than a zuz, he can now replace it with a zuz. The kohen is absolutely satisfied in terms of his monetary claim. He doesn't have to make a profit on it, and therefore, even when we get to the kapara element is now capped by the value of the gzela. He writes here in the name of the Chazon Ish something which I don't understand, but I'll just read it to you. He says, "Afshu mishalim lefi midah," according to that first. According to which was Mida was the second. Let me get this. No, Mida was the first. If you hold like the first sheet of Lefi Mida, correct? And now Lefi Mida, the Kohen is going to make a profit. Omnam Chiyu Elashan LeKohen She'es Chumaso Ochal Eino El Lefi Domim Aval. As Mosar Paris al Dmea Truma Yachal Losses Lakol Kohen Shayirt. Wow. Now it's according to that side of the Gemara that the Tzar pays Lefi Domin, he doesn't have to pay four Zuzim's worth of Truma to that Kohen who owned the Truma that he ate. He'll give the Kohen one Zuzim's worth of the Truma. And the other three zuzim's worth of the truma, he's going to give to any kohen, his kohen of his choice. It's a radical chiddush. I'm just telling you what it says here in the name of the Chazon Ish. You know, the Chazon Ish was no slouch. You know what I mean? He was taka pretty. He was big. He was big, the Chazon Ish. You know, he was like from the Nevi'im period of time. That's what they say the brisk is when they saw the fly page. You know, the title page. So they, and it said Chazon Ish. That was the title he chose for himself. So they wrote in a note that Lo Nikra Chazon Me Az Hanaviim. You know. All right. Anyway, so here's what the Chazon Ish wants to say. He wants to say that Lefi Damim is already the two different dinim over here. Even Lefi Damim, the two different dinim. There's one din of the damim that he owes to the Kohen, and that's only worth a zuz, because kol hagazon mishalim kein kishu. And then there's another din of lefi damim, which is a separate kapara, and now the tzar who ate the truma, and the three zuzim's worth that he pays above and beyond its value as gzela, meaning midin tashlume kapara, that he can choose any kohen that he so desires. So this is the suffix of the Gemara. This is the suffix of the Gemara. Now, Rabosai, I'm going to let you go, but I just want to leave you with one question, and I hope you can all answer this question, because this will be a quiz question to see if you followed the Shia today. When our Mishnah says that a ochel chumas chomish bepesach b'shoge mishalim keren b'chomish, what does that prove? on the Gemara Safek here, Yibayla, who is Lefi Domim or Lefi Mida? No, it can't be Lefi Domim. Because we're holding like all the Tanoim, except for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Chomis Bepesach is also Manah. And I'll prove it to you, because the Mishnah says that if he was amazing, he doesn't pay. Why doesn't he pay? Because the Chomis is valueless. So you can't tell me that Lefi Domim is Shalim, because if you're going to go with Lefi Domim, then he shouldn't be paying. He shouldn't be paying any truma whatsoever, because he didn't cause any loss to the Kohen whose truma he ate. You're going to have to assume Lefi Mida Mishnah. Hence, that's why this Mishnah is the jump off point for the Suffolk of Lefi Domim Mishnah. In other words, why didn't the Gemara ask this question in any Masechet in Shas? Why did it appear here in Masechet Pesachim in the case of Zar Shachol Trumas Chametz? And the answer is because the Mishnah itself is going to be predicated on the premise of Lefi Mida Mishalim, because if it's not Lefi Mida Mishalim, if it's Lefi Domim Mishalim, he should not be paying Keren V'Chomesh. And that, my friends, is going to be the sugya for tomorrow. And if there's anyone here who is going abroad for Pesach, anybody? Just me? Am I the only one? No one's going abroad. I'm jealous of you, but it's not my choice. You know, I'd much rather be in my, I have a nice home here in Harnof. You're all invited to come and see it. And rather than in the Lower East Side of Manhattan with all the freezing weather over there and so forth and so on, although today's supposed to be 80 degrees in New York, but 80 degrees Fahrenheit, not Celsius. No, don't get nervous. Yeah, what's that in Celsius? About 35 or so, 30. So Michael, if I need that, I'll call on you. If you can hold on to it for a day or two, you know, before you erase it, and we'll see. So for me personally, because I'm going abroad, the sugya that we're going to learn tomorrow is very relevant in contemporary halacha, because the whole issue of whether or not the sale of the chametz goes according to where you are or where your chametz is depends upon this sugya that we're about to learn tomorrow, about whether tashlume truma is lefi domim or lefi mida. I mean, it doesn't sound like it should be relevant, but hopefully, if the Shia tomorrow is successful, I'm going to convince you that it is relevant. Okay, then? Now let's see if this was working at all. What does it say over here? Am I going to see?
Microphone is being used by another app. Please open the app and turn it off and then try again.
So nothing worked here. And how do you turn it off? This is it? Oh, this is to turn it on. So how do you turn it off? You hit it a second time? So this did not take, they suppose.
That's what it seems.
And that's because...
since there's some other app that's running, right, that's using
Skype.
It.
I mean, because I was Skyping with Yehuda, this was not working. Okay. Is it?